Well, I understand, Rena, you had quite the crowd on Thursday. I want to, Rena put together a Thanksgiving meal for people in her church and others out in the community last Thursday. And I just want to thank you personally for that effort. It was, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Her mom passed away last week. And she felt this would be therapy for her. And so I just kind of, at the last minute, threw it on her last week. And I just want to thank you, Rena, for the work that you did. Praise the Lord. Yes. We have some tremendous servants of the Lord in our church. And I just want to thank you, each one of you, for what you do. We've got some people in the back. Ready or either, I think they're in the back. Yeah, I don't see them in here, so there's people in the back that take care of children if you need that assistance. So, anyway, it's good to be with you today. How many of you are struggling in some areas of your life? I want to pray for you before we go forward, because sometimes we come into a congregation, we want to get from the things from the Lord that He wants to give us, but it's hard for us to really connect because there's things going on in our own personal life and troubles, struggles, one way or the other. And so I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out by name. I'm not going to ask you what the problem is. But God knows. Okay? And so He's going to hear our prayers. Okay? Thank you. Good to see you, Denise. I haven't seen you in a while. Glad you could come be with us. Okay? Thank you. All right. Father, as we come before you today, Lord, you know our hearts. You know the things that are going on in each of our lives, the things that we're struggling with. Lord, sometimes they're attacks from the enemy. Sometimes they're trials that we go through, and you want us to grow up. Lord, I don't know what's going on in every life here whose hand was raised, but you do. Lord, I pray that you would accomplish your will through this. Lord, I'm not praying that all the troubles be taken away, because this may be your very thing that it takes for them to rise up, raise their faces to you and look to you for help and salvation. And Lord, you are our Ebenezer. You are our hope. Lord, your promises are true. And so, Father, as each one goes through the different trials and troubles, temptations, Lord, I pray that you would walk with them through it. Help them to see the hand of the Lord upon them as they overcome these issues. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today, that we would be able to hear what you'd have for us to hear. And Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us a newfound hope in you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I am going to ask that you stand, and if you don't feel like holding hands with someone because of the cold season, at least pray with them or pray for them. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you don't know their name, ask their name. And pray that they would be able to receive what God has for them. Cheryl, you can come up here and join this group. And Craig, do you know the fella beside you? Okay. Why don't somebody get this group in here that's in the back? Dylan, you want to kind of reach out and cross here and. So do you know her name, Jill? Okay. All right. So just pray in the spirit for each other. Pray for yourself that you'll be able to receive what God has for you. Lord, you are a good, good Father. Lord, you do all things well. God, I pray that you would just move in our midst today. We ask for your presence just to fall upon us. Lord, there may be some here today who don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that through the message that they would understand what it means to become a Christian. Lord, I pray that, Lord, there are many of us who have not been doing what we need to do. Things that you place on our heart and we just kind of shove it to the back of our minds and not move when you tell us to move. And Lord, I ask your forgiveness. And God, ask that you would give us not only the understanding of what to do, but the will to do. Lord, you do so much for us. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. I pray that our hearts will be open to what you have for us today. And Lord, that our minds would be connected to you. Our hearts would be connected to you. Lord, we would love to learn to love you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've been going through a series of called Why Church? And I didn't know it was going to take 9 months to get to the point we are now. We're probably halfway through the series. Anyway, we're talking about why church, and one of the reasons for church is to make disciples. Jesus said, go into all the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always. Here's the neat thing about that. One of the neat things about that passage of Scripture is that anytime we go in Jesus' name and share Christ with some people, some other people, Jesus said, I'm there with you. I'm there with you. I'm there with you. And you can also, if you've never gone and shared Christ and shared your faith with someone else, you'd be amazed at how Jesus works through those situations and through those circumstances. So one of the reasons for church is to make disciples. Cynthia and I were preparing for the foreign mission field before we came here. Because of circumstances, we were not able to go. And my mind and my idea, my thought was, well, I'm going to go to a pagan culture, people who've never heard of Jesus before. And I wanted to share Christ with those where no one has gone before. That was my thought. That was my idea, going to a place where there's no biblical worldview. It was all pagan worldview. People didn't believe in God. They didn't, maybe they had a belief in God, but it wasn't the God that we serve. And so my idea, my thought was that that's where we were going, is to share Christ with a people who don't know Christ. Guess what? We're there. We're there. So here's the thing that you need to realize, that you are a missionary in a pagan culture. There used to be a time when you could share Christ and there was a biblical worldview and you could connect because there were frames of references. We all had a moral code that we lived by or tried to live by, and everybody knew that that's what the moral code was. And so when you shared Christ, they understood that, yes, there's a code that I'm not living up to, and I understand that I'm failing, and I'm not right in God's eyes, and so therefore, I need help. We're living in a culture now where everything is turned upside down. Everything that used to be right is now wrong. Everything that used to be wrong is now right. And so sharing Christ in a pagan culture, it takes a mind shift. Because we're not where we were 20 years ago. We're not where we were, and we're not going to get back there. Unless there's a mighty move of God. And so whenever you're thinking about, this is kind of it just dawned on me. I'm living in a culture where I can't share Christ the way I used to. I'm going to have to take a different tactic in order to bring Christ into the person's life. And so that's one of the things we're going to discuss next Saturday in our training when we meet at 9 o'clock for those who want to come. There was a time when everybody knew what Christmas was about. There was a time when people knew that it was Jesus' birthday that we celebrated. They knew that. Not everybody knows that these days. And so we have to change our minds about the way we share Christ. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. And we get to live in this day, in this hour, in this nation. We get to be a part of what God is doing in the lives of people who live in a pagan society. And it's exciting to me. It's exciting to me. Today we're going to be talking about what is the gospel and what's it not. We've been talking about the last two Sundays. We've been talking about sharing our faith with others. This will be the last message, I think, on this particular subject in this series. A passage of scripture that would be great to memorize, if you would, stand and read it with me. It's in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Let's read that one more time. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You may be seated. So that Vine's word, salvation, means safe. It means safely. It means safety. It means salvation. How many of you like to be safe? I like to be safe. I like to have safety around me. There are some things I don't do. I don't jump out of airplanes. And it's okay if you do. That's just not something I feel comfortable with and safe with. Okay. But the word salvation means safety. I like that word. I don't go out on the ocean for a couple of reasons. One is I get seasick. But also the ocean to me is kind of frightful. For some of you, it's like, ooh, that's a joy. I love that. To me, that's not my fun. Okay. However, no matter where we are, that's where Jesus is. If we're his child and we're trusting him, he's the one who keeps us safe, not ourselves, but he keeps us safe. Okay, I could be walking along the sidewalk and trip and fall in the street and somebody run over me. Hope not. But accidents can happen anywhere. It's Jesus who keeps me safe. There's another passage of scripture that says, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we look back at that scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says the gospel is the power of God to salvation. How much power does God have? All power. And how much power does it take to bring somebody out of death into life? It's a lot of power. I've watched these TV shows where they take these paddles and, put them on people's chests and they turn the electricity on, and sometimes they bring them back to life. Sometimes they don't. But it takes a lot of power to bring people out of death into life. And here's the thing that Scripture talks about regarding death, that every person who does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior are dead spiritually. And Jesus is the one who can bring them to life. The gospel brings hope to the hopeless. It sheds light to those who are in darkness. It brings life to the lifeless. It changes the course of life. It causes hell-bound sinners to become heaven-bound saints in a matter of minutes. It gives purpose to those who have lost their way. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, all who call upon the name of the Lord. There's power in the name of Jesus. So, what is the gospel of Christ? We've explored a little bit of its power. What is it? Well, the word actually means, the gospel means good news. Have you ever heard any good news? How does it make you feel? Good. It's exciting when you hear good news. We pray for people in the hospital and they get better and they get well, and that's good news. We're excited about the answer to prayer. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, this passage says, I passed on to you what was most important. Say most important. And what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. This is the gospel message. Jesus lived a life on earth. He lived a sinless life, just like the Scripture said. He was buried, and then 3 days later, he rose again, just like the Scriptures said. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And the reason it's so good is because he is God's Son, and he has some good things in store for you. The good news is that you are adopted into the family of God when you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. When you ask his forgiveness of sins, you are adopted into his family. There could not be a greater relationship than a father and a son. And God says, when you receive Jesus, then I adopt you into my family. I adopt you into my kingdom. You are adopted son and adopted daughter of God in Christ Jesus. The good news is that you're adopted into his family. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The good news is that you receive eternal life when you receive Jesus. In John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So you have eternal life the moment you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Prior to that point, you don't have eternal life. You have eternal death. And Scripture says when we receive him, we begin to live the eternal life that Jesus promised us. The third thing is, the good news is that you can know for certain that you have eternal life. There are a lot of people who have hope that they're going to have eternal life. Are you going to heaven when you die? I hope so. I hope so. But there's a passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 that says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. I want to ask you a question. Do you know for certain you have eternal life? Shared with you part of my testimony some time ago. One part of I left out is, as I was a youth minister and did not know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I really desperately wanted to become a Christian but didn't know how, one day while I was coming back from seminary, I stopped by a church. Pastor didn't know me. I didn't know him. And I went in, and I was a youth minister, and I went into him, and he was in his office, and I said, hey, I would like to share with my youth how a person comes to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I wasn't telling him I was doing it for myself. I was asking him for my youth. And he said, well, here, take some of these tracts, and maybe that will be a benefit to you. When I took the tracts, there was no benefit to me. Okay? I can't explain to you or impart to you the importance of having the good news so that you can know for certain, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Scripture tells us that in the heaven there is a book of life. And every person who's in that book of life is destined for heaven. And I heard a pastor say this one time, if we had the book of life sitting on this table, would you have to come by and look at the book of life to see if your name is in it? Or do you know that you know that you know for certain, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you're going to go to heaven when you die? I did not have that certainty, and I wanted that certainty. Because Scripture says we can know that we have eternal life. And the good news is that you can finally find the answers to major questions in life. Where did I come from? Who am I? Why am I here? How should I live? Where am I going? Those are the five prominent questions that people are wondering about in their life. And did you know that you could find all of those answers through Jesus Christ? That's the good news. You don't know what your purpose is. The good news is Jesus can show you your purpose. It's an amazing thing that we walk around with no purpose. We walk around in the dark. We don't know where we're going, who I am. And yet Jesus can share that with us. That's the good news. These are some good things regarding the good news that I believe every person needs to know. So there are some people who think they've received good news, but actually they're the false gospel or lies, which people believe that will secure them a place in heaven. And the first and most prevalent is this: I believe in God. A lot of people think if I believe in God, then that's going to usher them into heaven. You're getting ahead of me. So James, chapter 2, verse 19, you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So let me ask you a question. Are the demons going to heaven? Do they believe in God? And you know, there's a lot of people who believe in God in their head. They don't have a relationship with them in their heart. The demons were with Jesus before they got kicked out of heaven. They were angels. And so they knew Jesus. They know him. They know his power. You know, and I remember if you read in Scripture, you find that there Jesus came up this Gadarene demoniac, and when the Gadarene demoniac saw him, he came and just fell at his feet. And the demons began crying out to him, do not send us to the pit. Do not send. They knew him. The demons know Jesus, and his name causes them to tremble. Jesus' name causes them to tremble. Now, here's the deal. Satan doesn't care whether you believe in God or not. Matter of fact, that's okay with him if you believe in God. The Muslims believe in God. Jehovah's Witnesses believe in God. The Hindus, the Buddhists. If you're not an atheist, you believe in God. And Satan doesn't care whether you believe in God. Matter of fact, he just kind of encourages you to believe in a God. It's okay to believe in a God. It doesn't bother him a bit. But when you begin to search out Jesus Christ, that's when the problem for Satan comes. He doesn't like it. He will try to do everything he can to keep you from hearing the gospel message. And the wonderful thing is we have the message. We have the message that we can share with others. The second lie or false gospel is there are many ways to heaven. You just believe, whether it's Hindu, Buddhist, Muhammad, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, you just have to believe strong enough in whatever you believe. When I was in Louisiana, pastoring a church, we was in a community with a lot of Catholics, Italian community, and most of them were Catholics. And I was invited to go to a St. Joseph's altar. And so I went to, and so let me explain to you what it is. I didn't know what it was till I got there. So I went, and they have a table. They had a table with all kind of, I mean, it was delicious looking food on there. I mean, but only, no one could eat off that except the apostles that they chose from the community to eat off that altar. Okay. And so they had food for the rest of us who were not apostles, the rest of us who were just visitors. They had food. It was a spaghetti, and we ate that. And so while we were eating, there was a lady, and I don't know what made her do this, but she comes up and she digs in her purse and she said, "This bean is what I believe in." She had like a lima bean. Said, "This bean is what I believe in." Said, "If I can leave my home without any money in my purse, and if I keep this bean in my purse, by the time I get home, I'm going to have money in my purse." And I'm like, I think there's something greater that I can put my faith in than a bean. I was visiting with a fella and I was counseling one day, trying to share Christ with him. They were having some family issues. Trying to share Christ with him. And he said, "You see this?" He had a tattoo on his arm. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well," he told me the symbol, it had something to do with something. I don't remember. But he said, I was looking over the edge. We were over the ocean and looked over the edge of the beach area. And I saw a limb down there and it had the same emblem as this. So I know that things are going to be okay because of the emblem that I saw." I'm like, "All righty then." But, if the truth is, Jesus is our only hope. That's the truth. Tried to make another appointment with them because they really needed Jesus. But they canceled the appointment and I've not seen them since. Okay. The problem is people need Jesus. And I've spoken of this before. Some people, trust in a higher power to get them through their struggles, get them over their addictions. If Jesus is not your higher power, you don't have any power. There is no power outside Jesus Christ. There is none. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're trying to overcome something in your life, Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key. Jesus said in 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So let me ask you, and I know a lot of you may even think, well, there are other ways to heaven other than Jesus. So let me ask you, do you think Jesus was lying when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me"? Was Jesus lying? You think he was a lunatic? What do you think he was telling the truth? Okay. So, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father." And some people say, "Well, you're just narrow-minded, Brad. You're just narrow-minded. Well, I'm no more narrow-minded than Jesus was. And either he was the Son of God, which he claimed to be, or he was a liar and a lunatic. A third false gospel is that good works will get me into heaven. I can be good enough to get to heaven on my own merit. If my good works outweigh my bad works, therefore, there's no reason for God to not let me get into heaven. Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Say, not of works. Say it again. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, these individuals were doing some works. Okay? These individuals were casting out demons, doing wonderful works in Jesus' name. But Jesus said, I never knew you. So, in saying that, let me say this. While salvation is not earned, it's only through putting our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not earned through works. I don't want to minimize works. Okay? James says, if works don't go along with your faith, then you probably don't have faith. So when we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we have if you have had an encounter with Jesus, things change in your life. There are people who've been prayed for. There are people who prayed a prayer. There have been people who've been baptized, but nothing has been transformed. Nothing has changed in their lives. They're the same old they were before they prayed the prayer or were baptized. And I'm not saying people praying for you is not important. And I'm not saying being baptized is not important. What I am saying is that you do not receive salvation. You do not inherit eternal life by doing those works. You receive that by receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So let me ask you a question. If there was another way to heaven other than through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, why would God have sent Jesus to die for you? I mean, that's a tremendous sacrifice. To offer one's own son to pay the penalty for my sins, for your sins. So why, if there was another way, if it was through good works, if it was through in whatever you believe, or just to even believe in God, why would God have sent Jesus to the earth to pay for your sins, my sins? Why would he have done that? The truth is, there is no other way. That's the truth. So I want to ask you a question in closing. Do you know for certain that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? Or are there doubts in your mind? See, Jesus is the only one who can give that assurance to you. No one else. I want to ask another question. What are you relying on for your salvation? What do you feel is going to get you into heaven? If it's not Jesus Christ, if you're putting your faith in something else, if it's not Jesus Christ, you're believing a false gospel, not a true gospel. So this morning, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, I want you to search your heart. I want you to answer those questions that I just posed to you. If you're here today and you don't have assurance of your salvation, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Anyone here? Okay. Anyone else? Anyone? Father, I come before you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would reveal yourself to this individual. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to each one of us. Lord, there may be those here today who didn't raise their hand, but Lord, you know their heart. And so I'm asking you, Lord, to just do what you need to do in our midst. Lord, I pray that you would just work in all of our lives so that we could put Jesus first. Lord, not depending on anything else, anyone else, depending upon you. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If there's something on your heart that you need to release to the Lord, you want me to pray for you, I'll be more than happy to pray for you. If you need to come to the front here and just kneel on these steps and pray, then I welcome you to do that. And again, I'll be here at the front to pray for you.
Sure. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up.
The Lord lift up.
His countenance on thee and give thee peace. Have an awesome day. Go and love on some people and rest and stay healthy.
Yes, amen. Yeah, that's definitely the next step.
Hey, good morning.